Wilpent and Kolel, share given by Yaakov Chaim Hefner on Sunday, the 1st of May 2011.
Various minhagim about how to finish your Seder after singing Chagadiyah. Our family minhag is from the other side of the family to sing Adon Olam and Yigdal, the Yom Nirom tune. I want to discuss the halakha, perhaps not such a well-known halakha that is nogea after the Seder finishes. That's brought down in Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tov Pei Aleph. Sifbeis, read out as follows. Just read out the halakha. Chayev Adam la'atuk behilchus ha-petach. A person is chayev to learn hilchus petach or v'yitziyat mitzrayim or l'satay benisim l'flois ya'oshah kodesh baruch l'avisenu. He's mechuyev to speak about the miracles of Yitzias Mitzrayim, ad shet chatzfenu sheina, until sleep, literally translates as sleep grabs hold of him or sleep overtakes him, says after the Seder, a person is meant to keep talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim, keep learning the halachas of Pesach until the morning. So, although this halacha might not be so well known or widely practiced, there is an offshoot of this halacha which is well known. And that is that we know that after the Afikoman you're not allowed to eat. But what about drinking after the Afikoman? So water we know you are allowed to drink. But the halacha says, Shulchan Aruch says that wine you're not allowed to drink. Why not wine? Mishnah Berurah brings various reasons. One of the reasons comes from the Tur and the Rosh in the name of Rabbeinu Yonah. And they say that that drinking wine might cause a person to become shikha, especially if he's already had 4 coasts of wine, he might become shikha, and therefore he won't be able to fulfill this chiyuv of spending all night learning halachos Pesach, and that's why you can't drink wine. So this comes out of this halacha of being mechuyev to stay up all night learning the halachos Pesach. So I want to break up this shiur, looking at this halacha in a few different aspects of this halacha. First of all, where does this halacha come from? What's the makor? What's the reason of this halacha? Second of all, it says we're meant to do Sipriyat Mitzrayim and learn halachas of Pesach. Hopefully we'll define exactly what you're meant to do a bit better. And second of all, it says how long have you got to do it for? So the Shulchan Aruch says Ad Shet Chatzfenu Sheina. We want to define exactly what it means until sleep grabs hold of him. What's the shir of how long you have to do it for? And lastly, if there's time, we'd like to speak about the halachic shayla. What's the halacha of someone who does this? He falls asleep and then he wakes up again before the morning. Does he have to carry on? So, first of all, looking at the makor. What's the makor of this halacha? So, to put the question a bit better. So we know there's a mitzvah of Sipriyat Mitzrayim. You've got to tell the story of Sipriyat Mitzrayim. But if in actual fact, Sipriyat Mitzrayim doesn't take a long time to do. According to some poskim, if someone just says Hashem took us out of Egypt, you finished the mitzvah. I think Avadram says once you've already made Kiddush, you said Zeichel Yitzias Mitzrayim in Kiddush, that's it, you've done your mitzvah. There's a nusach of the Haggadah that Chazal says there's a certain text you've got to say, and maybe Midrabbonon you might have to add in Pesach Matzamor according to Rabban Gamliel, but the main mitzvah doesn't take all night. So what are you doing staying up all night? What's the mitzvah? So the main and traditional source of this halacha comes from a Tetesta at the end of Psachim. Last Tetesta in Psachim says as follows. It says Chayiv Odom, very similar lashon to the Shulchan Aruch. Chayiv Odom la'atuk behilchus ha-Pesach kol ha-layla. A person is chayiv to learn the halachas of Pesach all night long. Afilu beino levein v'no, even if there's no one else there, it's just him and his son. So afilu beino levein atzmo, even if there's no one there, it's just him himself. He's mechuyev to learn halachas of Pesach. Afilu beino levein talmida, even between him and his talmid. And then proves this from a maisa, a story which is quite similar to the story in the Haggadah that we know of the five tanoim who stayed up all night learning Sipriyat Mitzrayim. Is maisa Rabban Gamliel as the Kanim? There was a story with Rabban Gamliel and as the Kanim Shoyim Mesubim Veveis Bitus Ben Zunim Belud in someone's house in the town of Lud. Vahyu Asukim Behilchas HaPesach Kol HaLayla. They were learning Hilchas Pesach the entire night. Ad Kiruv Hageva until the cockerel crows, I think is the best translation, until it was morning. When it was morning, they opened the window literally to make sure it was morning. But now they gathered together, and they went to Davon Shacharis in the Beit HaMedrash. So we see from this story that you're meant to stay up all night learning Hilchos Pesach. And the idea is, explains the stipler, that this is a Takana Drabonon, based on the fact that Tzipi Tzias Mitzrayim is such a great mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, he says, which brings to Ahavas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, it brings to Lamei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it brings to Emunah, and therefore, says Chazal, once you've got an opportunity to fulfill this fantastic mitzvah, do it all night. Cash in as much as possible on this mitzvah, and that way you'll, and therefore you should do it all night. That's the way of understanding this halacha. However, it's quite interesting that this is, that although we pass him like this Tosefta, it's not necessarily clear, because the Mechilta, which is a collection of writers on Sefer Shemos, actually disagrees on this. And the Mechilta, right at the end of Parashas Bo, learns from a pasuk as follows, and it's talking about a totally different din. Actually, it's talking about the din of that we know in the Haggadah of Afilu Kolon Chachamim. Even if we're clever people, even if we know all of we're nevertheless required to say it over again. And it says as follows, and it Rebbe Eliezer said, "Minayin ato imem, from where do you know Shem Hoysel Chabura Shel Chachomim, O Shel Talmidim?" If there was a group of wise people, of people who know halal, of people who know already the story, Shel Tzrichim Lasuk Behilchas Pesach, that they Ad Chatzos. He says, how do you know that they nevertheless have to learn Hilchas Pesach? But it says, how long do you have to do it for? Ad Chatzos, he says. Some say the whole night. Shulchan Aruch, and we brought it to Tosefta, it says the whole night. However, and he's actually from a pasuk, how you know that you're meant to do it the whole night. But we see from here that the Mechilta is clearly learning that you only have to do it until Chatzos halachic midnight. So the question is, what's this machlokes based on? So explain almost all the achronim, the Minchat Chinuch, and it's also brought from the Mishkanes Yaakov, who was the brother of the Keren Ora. Haven't seen it inside there, although he seems to be the main source. But in actual fact, the original source for this is the Ritva, recently published from Kisvei Yad. There's a Haggad, the Ritva, in his Pirush of Haggadah Shel Pesach. He says this idea. And the idea is as follows, that the Gemara in Brachas brings a machlokas, how long you've got to eat your Korban Pesach. The first opinion is Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah and Rebbe Eliezer on one side. And they say, you know how long you've got to eat your Korban Pesach? You can eat your Korban Pesach till Chatzos. The second opinion is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua, and they say you've got all night to eat your Korban Pesach. That's machlokes seemingly only regarding Korban Pesach. However, this actually goes one stage further. And that's the Gemara in Psochim, that's Kuf Chof Amun Beit, I think, where Rava says that just as this machlokes applies to eating Korban Pesach, it also applies to eating matzah. Because there's a hekesh between Korban Pesach and matzah. And therefore, just like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, you've got till Chatzos to eat your Korban Pesach, he also says you've got till Chatzos to eat your matzah and mora and all the bits of the night. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, says you've got all night. So this is the machlokes. So says the Menachat Chinuch, and the Ritva will take this one stage further. We say in the Haggadah, and it comes from the Mechilta, that when do you do Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim? Ba'aburuzeh, we dash from the pasuk that ba'aburuzeh is a demonstrative term, you're pointing at something. B'shah sheyesh matzah amara menachem lefanecha, when there's matzah amara in front of you. So if what we've said is correct, the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you've only got till Chatzos to eat your matzah amara, and therefore, only until Chatzos is it considered ba'aburuzeh. And therefore, only until Chatzos do you perform the mitzvah of Tzipi Yitzias Mitzrayim. And therefore, Rabbi Eliezer, who holds in Brachas Tafteh that you've got till Chatzos to eat your Korban Pesach, that's therefore he is the man de Oman, the Mechilta, who says you've got to Tzipi Yitzias Mitzrayim until Chatzos. However, the Tosefta, and indeed how we paskin, says, Kol HaLaila, that's following the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. It's a big machlokas, exactly who to paskin, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah or like Rabbi Akiva. As far as I know, we take the chumras of both shittas. Therefore, it makes sense that we're following Rabbi Akiva here, the more stringent opinion, to do Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim the whole night. And it's just worth pointing out that it's not entirely clear, because the Mabit Pirush on the Rambam in Kiryas Sefer, he actually passes like the Mechilta. So it's not totally straightforward, but we pass him like the Tosefta. The problem with this Mahalach, we're saying that it's dependent on on the time of eating Korban Pesach is we've got the story in the Haggadah that indicates the other way around. Because we've got a story, the story tells us that Maisa once said, however much you tell the story of Sibbik Yisrayim, that the better it is. So then we prove this from a story. And which Tanoim sat there in the story in Bnei Brak telling Sibbik Yisrayim all night? They were among them was Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua. Well, that's fine, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua both hold you've got all night. But who else have we got? We've got Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Eliezer. According to them, you should only be till Chatzos. So what were they doing staying up all night? This is a question posed by all Achronim on this chat that we've just said. And there are many answers. I think altogether I found 7 answers, possibly 8. I'll just mention 1 or 2 of them. That is that Rabbi Pesach Frank, in his Sefer Mikro Kodesh, he wants to suggest that based on this story, that in actual fact, the cheshbon of the Minchas Chinuch is incorrect. And in actual fact, even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, although eating matzah and maror and korban pesach is still chatzos, nevertheless, sipping tzias mitzrayim is the whole night. And that's how we'll explain the story over here. And there's even talk amongst the Achronim trying to find a special pasuk according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that tells you all night. But that's the opinion of Mikro Kodesh. So I think I wanted to see. Yeah. The question is on that drasha, yes. Is why does it say ba'avur zeh, and why does it say ba'yem ahu on that day followed by ba'avur zeh? Just say ba'avur zeh b'shar shemat tamar menachem lefanecha on the ready ba'yem ahu. So. Based on that, that's all the Achronim wanted to say, that once we know Ba'avur Zeh, yeah. We go back and we've now got spare Bayem Mahu, and that tells you all night, even after Matzah Maram Nachal Lefanecha, as long as it's on that night.
Mm-hmm.
Saw it in a day from Bukhtas Rafal, on Pesach.
Is there any problem just saying, they wanted their
lunch
or not? It's probably what they did anyway, so I mean, Ramela, sitting with other Tanoim, we wouldn't take the opportunity, you know.
Yeah, that's... There are others who want to take that view, but I think the problem with that shat is that the Haggadah tells us that Kalamar Belisata beats Yas Mitzrayim, that the big thing is Harezah Meshubach, and how are we going to prove that it's important to tell Yas Mitzrayim all night from this story, which has appeared that they were telling specifically it's Yas Mitzrayim rather than
as a mitzvah rather than
anything else. So. Okay, other ways of understanding this, just say one very, very sweet shot from the Stikler. The Stikler says why is it stressing Bnei Brak? So he brings the Gemara in Sanhedrin which says, who was the Rav of Bnei Brak? Rabbi Akiva was the Rav there. And therefore, despite the fact that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah were no mean Talmud Chomim, and they obviously felt that what they had probably a lot of riots to prove their pshats and the halacha, and they felt very strongly about it, they nevertheless, since they were in Bnei Brak and Rabbi Akiva was Rav there, they followed his psak, and therefore they stayed up all night. That's the way the site learned it. Just say one other very interesting pshat, that was written in Sefer Keter Dovid from the late Zion Kaplan, and he says that he brings the Orach HaShulchan about Sof Zman Tfila. The question brought there is, what is Sof Zman Tfila, Sof Zman Kriya Shema? Is it a cut-off point when you've got to finish davening, or is it a cut-off point when you've got to start davening? So the Orach HaShulchan first brings the Magen Avraham, he infers from the Magen Avraham that it's that you've got to finish davening by Sof Zman Tfila. But it says the Orach HaShulchan himself, he bases himself on the Tosfos in Brachos, that even if you start davening before Sof Zman Tfila, then it's as though you drag on the time with you until you finish davening. You drag on if you start davening just before Sof Zman Tfila, then the cut-off point for finishing davening drags on until you finish davening. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. Based on this, says Zion Kaplan, we can perhaps the same thing applies according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah with regard to Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. The cut-off point for Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim may well be Chatzos, may well be Halachic Midnight, but nevertheless, if you start before midnight and you start doing your Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, even if you continue afterwards, it's nevertheless a fulfillment of the mitzvah. And that explains why the Tanaim were staying up all night. Okay. That's the main Makor. Perhaps if there's a bit of time later, we'll come on to some of the other reasons for this halacha. Okay, now let's have a look at what he meant to learn. What he meant to do. So the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch said, the Shulchan Aruch says two things. He says one thing, you've got to learn Hilchos Petach, and the second thing is that you've got to do Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So doing Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, we can understand very well, that's the mitzvah of tonight. The Torah says you've got to do Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, tell the story of going out of Egypt on the 15th of Nisan, on the night of the 15th of Nisan. But so where does learning the Halachos of Petach come in? What does that have to do with anything? There's two basic opinions here. The opinion of the Maharal, the Sefer Gevurah Hashem, is that learning Hilchos Petach is in actuality a fulfillment of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because when you learn the Halachos of Petach, the way I've understood this is that you look at the Halachos and you see what the Halachos represent, and that will bring you to a greater understanding in the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And as an example of this, the Maharal brings what we say at the end of the Haggadah, the end of Maggid, Rabbi Gamliel says you've got to say three things. The Maharal seems to understand that this is a reference to being yet to the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. You've got to say these three things: Petach, Matzah, Morah, and that's halacha. That's halacha. You've got to eat a korban Petach, you've got to eat Matzah, you've got to eat Morah. Nevertheless, it's a fulfillment of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. But we don't just leave it there. We say Al Shulmo. Why are we eating these things? When we learn the halachas, we look at what the halachas represent. Why are you eating korban Petach? Why are we eating Matzah? Why are we eating Morah? And through that, we get a greater understanding in the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Another raya for this is brought by the Brisker Rav from the story, the four sons, one of the sons is the Chacham. So what's the Chacham's question? The Chacham doesn't ask a question, what happens at Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? It's a detailed question about the Midrashim of going out of Egypt. He asks a question in Halacha. Moha Eidos, Bachukim, Amishpotim, what are these Halachas that you're dealing with here? To which the father answers him, you give him the full whack of Hilchos Petach. You tell him the whole thing. So, what's that got to do with Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? It's appear from here, it says the Brisker Rav, and it comes from the Maharal really, that when you tell over the halachas of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that is a fulfillment of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that's one opinion. However, there is another opinion brought down in the Achronim, which is that it doesn't refer to learning all halachas of Chometz, or anything like that. It refers specifically to the halachas of bringing a korban Petach. And why is this? This is with the principle of Unashalma Forim Sosenu, that if a person doesn't have an opportunity to bring a korban like we have nowadays, then learning the halachas is considered, to a certain extent, as though we brought the korban ourselves. So therefore, on Saturday night, we would have eaten a korban Petach. Unfortunately, we can't achieve this. There's a special takana that you should learn the halachas specifically of korban Petach. What's the difference between these two opinions? The practical difference is whether you have to actually do both, or one is good enough. According to the opinion of the Maharal, then since learning the halachas of Petach is in actuality a fulfillment of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, then if you don't feel like learning the halachas and you just want to say over the Medrashim or something like that, then that's fine, that's good enough, because it's just two ways, and equally good two ways of fulfilling the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. However, according to the other opinion, which the Brisker Rav speaks about, and others also, it would appear you've got to do both. Not only do you have to do Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, you've also got to learn Hilchos Petach. And I saw a beautiful diuk that in the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch and the Lashon and of the Mefarshim that really brings this out. The Shulchan Aruch, when he brings this halacha, says, Chayev Odom, La'asik Hilchos Petach Yetzias Mitzrayim, he puts the vav there. You've got to do both. Not only do you have to learn Hilchos Petach, you've also got to tell over the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that would appear there's two things. Perhaps he's learning, like the Brisker Rav, or like the second opinion, approach of the Brisker Rav, that you've got to do two things. This way would refer to halachas of korban Petach. Not only do you have to tell the story, you've also got to learn halachas. And if you have a look at the Rosh, when the Rosh brings it down, the Rosh at the end of Pesachim that we mentioned before about drinking after the Dalet Kosis, says the Rosh, Chayev Odom la'atuk kol halayla v'hilchus ha-pesach uv'yitiyat Mitzrayim le'tapeh b'nissim uv'nifloes she'osa l'ana kodesh baruch. He doesn't put a vav and to tell the story. He says to tell the story. He says that learning Pesach is a way of telling the story. So he's learning like the Maharal, that learning Hilchos HaPetach is since you see what the halakhas represent, that helps you understand the story. Okay, going on a bit further, that there is a minhag, quite a strong minhag, of saying over once you finish the thing, the shir ashirim. And the Chai Adam explains what that this is based on the halakha that we've just discussed. If you have a look, if you learn, someone learns shir ashirim with Rashi in particular, almost all the psukim are interpreted to do with the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Therefore, says the Chai Adam, that saying shir ashirim is a way of fulfilling the mitzvah, this mitzvah, because you're automatically telling the story. Having said that, and the Chizor takes this one stage further, he says a very beautiful remez, says the Chizor that in shir ashirim there are 117 psukim. 117 corresponds to the number of years that the Yidden spent in Mitzrayim from the death of Levi until when they left Mitzrayim. Because until all the Shvatim, when Levi was the last one of the Shvatim to die, until all the Shvatim were Nifta, the Shibud didn't really start in full force. So he says the intense years of Shibud were 117, and that corresponded to by the number of Psukim in Shir Ashirim. And that's it, because the word Pasuk is a sentence. It's the Lashna of Pasuk. It ends here. It's finished. She says, Kuf Yud Zayin Psukim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ended the Shibud earlier. It was really meant to be 400 years. Hashem cut it off, so to speak, after 117 years. And the gratitude to that, that's represented by Shir Ashirim.
What is the matar for the, you know, when Levi died, that it was 117 years before?
Do your calculations.
Huh?
Your calculations.
Well, what calculations? How do you know where's the remnant of the late? I'm saying. I don't know. It's asking where. Huh?
We can say that.
So you're saying that.
Is it
117
years of
Shibud?
Yeah.
Where's 210 coming? 210 are the years that the Yidden spent in Mitzrayim from when they went down until they left. 117 were the years of intensive Shibud from the death of the Shvatim.
And 86
is also another significant number. I think. The year of Shvatim and Nisbet, that's the Shibud.
The more intensive.
Well, that's the Shibud of Gulf. And then before that was no Shibud of Gulf. That's the Shibud of Gulf in the 86th.
Okay. It's worthwhile pointing out that that besides this reason of there's also other reasons for learning Shir Ashirim. That's according to Kabbalah. It's brought that already from the days of the Arizal. There's minhag according to Kabbalah to Shir Ashirim, and it's also brought in Yisod B'Shosh HaAvodah. Okay, going a bit further, and that is that we want to have a look at Ad Shet Chatzvenu Sheina, until sleep overtakes him, sleep grabs hold of him. So there's two basic interpretations of what it means, Adshet Chatzvenu Sheina. The commonly followed chat is surprisingly makel, and that is that it doesn't mean literally that he's sitting there at the table and he suddenly nods off because he's so exhausted from staying up all night. It means that he's tired, he's very tired. The Lashon of the Ben Ish Chai is Techrichenu Hashem Nolishem. The sleep, his need to go to sleep, forces him to go to bed. That he's so tired that he feels he needs to sleep. And Reb Chaim Kanievsky backed up this idea that it means that you're so tired and therefore went to go to bed. And the explanation of this is can be inferred from a Maharal. Maharal says that in truth, this halacha shouldn't be allowed. Why? Because it's Yom Tov. Yom Tov, you're not allowed to be mitzvah yourself, you're not allowed to cause oneself undue pain on Yom Tov. Staying up all night, so whatever it is, till alot is 4 a.m. is definitely going to cause a little bit of tzar. So says the Maharal. So the Maharal says that this halacha is talking about for someone who it won't cause extra pain. If someone is not tired or someone's a very strong person, that staying up all the till alot hashachar isn't a problem for him, then we can understand that he should do this. But for someone who is going to cause tzar to, then this halacha doesn't apply. Much more important not to cause himself tzar on Yom Tov. And just read out the Lashon of Maharal, the end of his Haggadah, where the Maharal says that mitzvah gedola letafa b'tzias mitzrayim kol halayla, it's a very big mitzvah, to tell the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim all the whole night. Kemosha also has a Kenim in Bnei Brak, like the Kenim, like the story that did in Bnei Brak until it came to Kriya Shema. V'chach yesh latif lechol odom latif b'Yetziat Mitzrayim kol halayla imhu odom she'es shelo below shina. Talking about a person who can cope without sleep, but obviously someone who can't cope without sleep, he better for him to go to sleep. And it's also worthwhile pointing out the Yaivuts and other post-Kim who say that I'm not quite sure where they get this from, but they say that if it's going to disturb your kavana in Shacharis the next morning, also better to go to sleep and not to stay up. It's more important to have a Shacharis with kavana than to stay up all night doing simply Yetziat Mitzrayim.
Having that for Shavuos as well, the Shavuos have the same.
I don't know we've all been there in the middle of Shavuos wondering what we are, where we are, and what it is.
It's actually quite interesting because Shavuos is not minhag brought in Shulchan Aruch. It's much more. It's minhag. This is a halacha.
Weaker thing to do.
This is a far more, but much less practiced halacha, but still. Theoretically, should be more heavyweight.
I suppose it is for the time of year. I suppose makes it easier because, of course, it's not so long to wait as it is for Pesach, which is, you know, more or less the equinox.
Having said all these kulas, it's also worthwhile it's worthwhile making a cheshbon because depending how late you finish your day. If you finish your day at 3:45 and unless it's 4:00, it's not such a big deal to stay up an extra 1/4 hour, whatever it is. So that's halacha. It's also worthwhile to point out, based on this, that the Chida says that the Shulchan Aruch, when he brings them this halacha, has missed out two important words. And those are the words kol halayla, the entire night. When the Torah and the Rosh bring this halacha, and Sfazano, all the other poskim, they say, Chayev Adam, you're meant to do this all night. Kol halayla, all night, Abshat Chatfenu Shina, until sleep overtakes him. The Shulchan Aruch misses out these words, kol halayla. So what's the explanation of kol halayla? She says, kol doesn't mean literally kol, it means rubo kukulo, most of the night, like the whole night. She says, you've got to do two things, says the Chizah. First of all, you've got to stay up until at least a bit after Chatzot, most of the night. And second of all, he says, Abshat Chatfenu Shina. Those are two separate things that you've got to fulfill. That's how the Chiddur says. Why did the Shulchan Aruch miss out the word Kol HaLayla? It says because most probably by the time you've done all the mitzvahs and you've done all your kedeshim and you've said Dan Magid and you've said Halal, you probably won't finish till after Chatzot. It's very unlikely you're going to finish before Chatzot, and therefore this isn't really very practical. The main practical point is Abshat Chatzfenu Shena. This is the accepted view in the Halacha. There is, however, another opinion, which is that it means literally until you sit at the table and you nod off at the table. The only source I've seen inside for this is the Yalkut Me'am Lois in his Haggadah Shel Pesach. That's how he brings it. He even advocates drinking coffee to keep yourself awake until you nod off at the table. So that's the Yalkut Me'am Lois. As he says, this is the idea of Onis Rachmana Patri. You've got to carry on until you're forced to stop because of an Onis. The problem with this is that normal onus is we never find that, say, eating matzah. Shulchan Aruch says you've got to eat matzah, but if there's no matzah, then onus rachmana patre. That's self understood that onus rachmana patre. Why here should we specifically say it's halacha? Perhaps that's the basis for the reasoning to say that it doesn't mean literally, and rather it means staying up. Rather it means until you're forced to go to sleep. Having said that, the Truma Sadeshen and the Chasam Sofer both kept this minhag of they never used to go to sleep and used to stay at the table until they nodded off. Whether that was a personal chumrah or that's what they felt the halacha was, I don't know. Just lastly, there's a bit of time we'll discuss the shaila of Yoshan v'nes Erev. She said you've got to do this until you fall asleep. What's the halacha of someone who goes to sleep and then he wakes up and there's still an hour until Alos HaShachar? Is he chayev to carry on doing Tzipiyus Yetziat Mitzrayim? So the Achronim tend to bring a raya from a piece of Chok Yaakov. We brought right at the beginning a halacha which says an offshoot of this, which is that you shouldn't drink wine after the four kosher. Why shouldn't you drink wine? Because perhaps you'll become shikha and you won't be able to fulfill this halacha properly. Says the Chok Yaakov that if this is the correct reason, then if someone falls asleep and he wakes up, then he's allowed to drink wine. He doesn't go any further than that. That's all the Chok Yaakov says. So it would appear from this that why can you drink wine? Obviously, because it doesn't matter if you become shikir, because you don't have to fulfill this halacha of staying up all night. That's what the achronim wants to say from this. Well, why should it be that just because you've fallen asleep you're pater? So I haven't really found a conclusive reason for this. The only reason that I've found is based on something that we said a lot earlier in the shiur. That was, we asked the question, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that you've only got until chatzos to fulfill your mitzvah, matzah, and morah, and everything. Why should you continue all night with regard to simply tzitzit? So the one answer we brought in the name of Diane Kaplan is because if you could start before the time, then even if you continue afterwards, as long as you keep on going, doing simply tzitzit mitzvah, it's considered a fulfillment of the mitzvah. Considered within the time. Well, according to that, if you've fallen asleep and you stop doing the mitzvah, then the time is finished. And now if you start again, it doesn't...
According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah.
Right, that's the problem with this, is that it only works according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. It's not a conclusive reason.
I've seen the same shaila about Purim, and it says, have initiative of something you have to... before you have the low yoga. They say, what happens if he gets that shikha, and he falls asleep, and then he wakes up to refresh, there's still time left. He's been mechoyim again. I think we've seen the shaila. We say ad means that's it, that's the cut off point. It means ad, and then you've got to keep going. So mechoyim is masmir, I'm sure.
Some people are very masmir.
Yeah, mechoyim in particular.
Having said that, the Ksav Sofer was very in his hexometer, Hakadosh Petach, he's very stark, that even if you fall asleep, if you wake up, you're chayav to carry on. And I think, if I've understood him correctly, he's basing himself on the opinion that we mentioned, that Ad Shet Chatzfenu Sheino means that there's an onus, and you fall asleep. So, according to both opinions, it's because you've got no choice, you have to go to sleep. And therefore, says, since it's only a din or onus, then if you wake up, then and you don't feel tired anymore, then you've got to carry on. That's the opinion of the Ksav Sofer. What will he do with the raya of the Chilk Yaakov, the Chilk Yaakov says, that if you wake up, then you can drink more. So I saw that why might you become drunk if you drink wine? The whole idea is because you've already drunk four cups of wine, and you might already be a little bit tipsy, so if you drink more wine, it might push you over the top. Says the Shulchan Aruch says that someone who sleeps a bit, then the effect of the previous wine will have worn off. And therefore, if the effect of the previous wine will have worn off, then he's allowed to drink more wine. We're not worried, that's not a problem. So therefore, that's the idea. Okay, got a little bit more time. I want to go back just to bring a couple of very interesting things more about this reason for the mitzvah. So we brought the very traditional reason, the Tesefta, which says the reason is because the halacha, that we brought the Seifla, that the reason is because a din drabonim, that you have to cash in on this mitzvah. However, it's worthwhile pointing out that not everyone holds it's a drabonim. There's a pasuk in Parashas Bo, which describes the Lel, or the night of the 15th, the night of Makas Becheres and Yetzias Mitzrayim, is Lel Shimurim Hu LaHashem. It's a guarded night, a night where Hashem guarded Klal Yisrael, looked after Klal Yisrael, Le'etziyom in Be'eretz Mitzrayim, for Hashem to took the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. Hu HaLaylo HaZeh LaHashem. This night, this is the night for Hashem. Shimurim L'chol B'nei Yisrael, watching over all the Yidden, L'Dereisom for generations. That's the simple way of learning Pshat in the Pasuk. However, the Ibn Ezra, when he says that the word Shemurim can be translated like Shomrei HaChomer, the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, as if understood it means night watchmen, people who stay up all night. What does it mean? Because Hashem performed all these miracles on this night, therefore it's Shemurim L'chol B'nei Yisrael L'Dor Yisrael. It's a night, he says, where you have to stay up all night until Sipit Yath Mitzrayim. That's also brought in the Chizkuni and I think the Torah as well in the Pirush Al HaTera. It's worth pointing out that according to this opinion, it might be a Din Deiraisa that you've got to stay up all night. If it's a Din Deiraisa, then all the kulas that we mentioned about if you've got Tsar because it's Yom Tov and that kind of thing, so that won't apply. You run into problems with these kulas. It's a Din Deiraisa when the kulas don't really apply. However, the Shulchan Aruch obviously doesn't use that as his makor.
That's also got a problem with the laws of an Azariah then, because you've got a posset that says you have to stay up all night, then you can't say whether it's Zman Pesach or not Zman Pesach, you've got a posset.
According to this opinion, it's not a din in Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Yes.
and therefore it shouldn't be dependent on Rabbi.
Yeah, that's not fair. So Tom Rebbe Lozo, why was he still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm the best of that. Right, yeah. Of course, I didn't think of that. Thank you very much. So, okay, then, just one other opinion of how to explain this Makar of this halacha comes from the Abar Benel. And Abar Benel quotes, he seems to infer a piece of Rambam that we know that we say in the Haggadah, Chayv Odom Liris Es Atzmo Ki'ilu Yatzmo Yitzrayim, Chayv, to see yourself, to imagine yourself as though you left Egypt. So the Rambam is a slightly different gear. So the Rambam says, Chayv Odom Laharis, he has to show as though he left Egypt. That he has to simulate the experience. He has to do certain things. I think the Sfaradim, that's quite famous, they beat each other with spring onions to imagine how it was under the intense hardship. Some people take the matzahs and they carry it around the room as though that we left Egypt with matzahs on our back. Says that Abar Benel, I've got another application of this halacha of the Rambam. The application is that if on the night of all those years ago in Yitzhak Mitzrayim, the Yidden didn't get much sleep, he says. The first half of the night they were doing all the mitzvahs, they were eating Korom Pesach with the matzah and morah, and the second half of the night they were busy packing, getting ready to leave Egypt. He says in order to simulate that experience, to be Chayav Odom Laharis Et Atzmo Ki'ilu Hiyotzam Mitzrayim, we should stay up all night as well. That's the opinion of the Abar Benel. Okay.
According to the Rambam, the creation anyway, really the Vekas man is at net, you know, or just before net. So according to that, you know, presumably, you know, Shvelas Rambam would be after Tadosh every day anyway. No, I mean, so it's you know the idea of you know sort of not staying too late being inside the flight. Okay. Yeah, very nice.